time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, Thrivers, this is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. Today, we're going to continue our series on what thriving people do differently. And today is a big one. This is one that begins to put together some pieces we've just talked about. Today is me introducing the fact that thrivers assume 100% responsibility for their lives. Now, whenever I say that, I always get this kind of a gut reaction. So let me tell you a bit of a story. Some years ago, when I was at kind of the beginning of my career, I was in the poorest neighborhood in the city. And the way I had arrived at this poor neighborhood was something I was reflecting on the day I was staring out the window and asking myself, what am I doing here? It had nothing to do with the poverty that was around me. I'd figured out how to work through the issues that people came in with. But what I realized was I was in this very small, very cramped, very hot room at the top of an old building. And the people who were coming to my office were not there because they wanted to see me. They were there because they had to see me. The court had ordered them to see me. The way I'd gotten there was I had been loaned out. I was in another part of town, and actually a pretty nice office with a lot of air conditioning in that building, and it was attached to a church, and that office was pretty comfortable. But we didn't have a lot of clients. You see, the same situations that would have caused someone to be in my office in one location in town, that person would be sent to their parents. I was working with teenagers at that point, and they would have just been sent back to their parents in another part of town. And so there I was, staring out the window, absolutely miserable with where things were. And I was just sitting there staring at how this could have happened. How did I get to this place where I was in this small little cubby burning up and not knowing what else to do to help the people coming into my office? At that moment, I realized that I really had only three options. I could do nothing. I could sit there and be miserable indefinitely. I could do something like just leave it all behind. But that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to just walk away. It was something that was important to me. And I felt like the people that were coming in needed some help. They needed a break. So then I had one other option, and that was to change things, to make it into something I wanted to do, to make it into a job that I would love having. And so I decided that I had to go in that direction. I couldn't just sit there and do nothing. I couldn't just sit there and live with what had been. And I couldn't just walk away. But I could change it. And so I began writing grants, and I began making requests, and I began talking about what could be and dreaming about what could be and accepting responsibility for getting it there. Realizing that what had been was not going to get me where I needed to be, nor was it going to be there to provide the services for other people unless I took responsibility to get there. I decided that I needed to take 100% responsibility for what happened in that program, and more than that, what happened in my life, at least at that portion, which raises the question of what I mean by responsibility, because you probably are remembering those moments somewhere in childhood where somebody was pointing at you and saying, who's responsible for this? Are you responsible? And what they meant is, who can I blame for this? Who is the person who's going to be in trouble? So because of that, we have this place where we've confused responsible with blame. Responsibility and fault are two very different things. Responsibility is choosing your response, the ability to respond, response ability. I can respond differently. And so part of this piece of the thriving ideas is that we assume 100% responsibility, the ability to respond 100% in our life. And if we're looking around and going, well, that's not my problem, that's not my fault, there's nothing I can do about it, let's use that word assume. I'm going to assume there is something I can do differently. I'm going to assume it. I'm not going to just take it on. I'm also going to decide to take it on. And that is where it all begins to shift. My friend Jack Canfield talks about the equation of what happens when we do that. He talks about the equation E plus R equals O. And what that stands for is event plus response equals outcome. As Jack talks about this, he talks about the fact that wherever something ends up, that outcome is just not a result of some event happening to us, but it's that event happening to us plus how we choose to respond. When we react, we just get pulled into that event and nothing changes. The outcome keeps rushing on in. Sometimes we just stand by as if we have nothing we can do, that event equals outcome. But when we add in that piece, our response can change the outcome. The event for me was sitting in the office recognizing I was working in a program I wasn't happy about, working in a program I didn't want to continue, but working in a program I knew was essential. And I could either allow that event to continue, and that would be my outcome, or I could choose to respond differently and take it somewhere different. The response made all the difference. So let's talk a little bit about the differences between responsibility and blame. Blame is all about finding fault. And when we do that, we discover there's nothing I can do. Because if it's somebody else's fault, and really that's what happens when we start looking for fault, it's somebody else's fault, then there's nothing I can do about this. And when I decide there's nothing I can do, I'm stuck. But responsibility is looking at how to respond differently, how to respond in a different way, which leads us to the idea of what can I do? That's the question it arises from that. What can I do? Not there's nothing I can do, but what can I do? And that opens up the possibilities. And those possibilities open up our lives to new potentials, which is why we thrive when we take on that responsibility. So how does that happen? Well, an event is anything beyond your control. Could be your spouse's actions or life events or genetics or a feeling, something that's just kind of running around in you because you don't have really control of those feelings. They just happen to be there. So if you make a list of the events, make a list of all the things that you believe you can't control, that you have no control over in these events, and look at which ones are the important elements. Your response is what you can do when that event occurs. Now, there's a difference between reaction and response. Reaction is based in fear, and reaction is often one that pulls us towards places we don't want to be. When we react to something, it's creating an inner place for us that is of fear and not about courage and not about acting rightly, but just about reacting. So we don't want to do that. A response is choosing how we want to move forward. So what can you control? Well, you have a point of choice. You can say, do I want to even respond to this at all? But what are the pieces of that response? Well, there are three things over which you can somehow choose: your thoughts, your behaviors, and your emotions. Now, the thoughts and emotions are tied together, as we've already talked about. People who thrive know that a thought is just a thought. And so they begin to deal with those thoughts differently by saying, okay, I'm just having that thought. I'm having the thought of wanting to get revenge. I'm having the thought of wanting to do something angrily. That's a thought. I don't have to respond on that, though. I can allow that thought to go. When we allow it to go, our emotions come back into order and they come to a higher place. They don't get caught in those lower elements of emotions. And that leads us to have a choice over our behavior, how we choose to interact. You cannot change your behaviors unless you change your thoughts. And thoughts will change your emotions, which are behind the behaviors. So we still have to drop back and recognize that the thoughts are running around in our heads, but that doesn't make them reality unless we choose that. And when we begin to choose differently, we recognize that those thoughts are just pieces of what we've created, and we can create something differently. So the outcome is what happens next. When the event gets combined with your response, you have a different outcome. Your response does not determine the outcome, but it influences it. Sometimes the event so outweighs your response that you cannot change the outcome, but you can change how you arrive at the outcome. Are you going to be victim, or are you going to be responsible? When I was a chaplain in a hospital, I had lots of conversations late at night with people who were suffering from horrible illnesses. And one of the common ones on the floor that I served was cancer. People would come back. And so I would see them on the oncology floor repeatedly and follow them often through their whole process of their illness. Some recovered, some did not. The interesting thing to me was many didn't talk about the fact that they didn't want the disease. They did talk about the changes that had happened because of the disease. Nobody told me that they were glad they had cancer, but many told me how it had changed the outcome because they changed the way they were responding to their life. They didn't ask for the illness, but they did respond with a changed life. They changed relationships. They changed their lifestyle. They changed their life purpose. And because of that, they stopped being the victim of the illness and became responsible for where their life took them, even though they didn't have ultimate control. You know, one of the whole tricks about this life thing is it is a terminal condition. We are going to arrive at a place where we don't have control over that. We do have a choice of how we'll get there and what we take along and how we choose that responsibility. So responsibility is being 100% responsible for what happens, 100% able to respond to what happens. You're able to respond. And this is far different than blaming or fault. You can say, I can take responsibility. You can always choose that. Imagine this. You're sitting in a house and the house is on fire. You have really two options. You can look around and say, who did this? Whose fault is this? Who caused this? Or you can say, what do I need to do to get everyone out of here? What do I need to do to get us to safety? How can I be responsible for what happens next? It's not your fault, perhaps, that the house is on fire, but it is your responsibility for how to get out. So assume 100% responsibility. Now, here's the really magical thing about assuming 100% responsibility. It's a no-fail approach. You can't fail at taking 100% responsibility. You may not succeed in getting exactly what you want because there are some things over which we have a lack of control. But you will have improved yourself. You will have tried your best. You will have pursued a noble goal and taken responsibility for everything you can. And that's where you arrive at a different place. There is a sure sign that somebody is choosing to not take responsibility. And that's when we say, I can't. Now, as I've noticed people saying, I can't, I realize that there really are four categories of I can't. One is, it's not possible. You know, I can't fly with wings on my back. That's not possible. I don't have wings. I can't breathe underwater. That's not possible. I can't walk to China. That's not possible. Now, there are ways of flying, and there are ways of getting underwater with a scuba tank on my back, and there are ways of getting to China, but those particular things won't get there. So there are times when we say, I can't, when we're talking about the limits of the physical world and the limits of ourselves. That's one I can't. And then there's another I can't, which is not yet. I can't do that yet. And oftentimes people will tell me that what they can't do, and I'll note for them that they needed to add one more word, yet. So somebody could say, come in and say, you know, I can't do brain surgery. And the question is, not yet, right? Because aren't you going to med school? So there are times when not yet is just a matter of timing. I can't do adult things because I'm a child. I can't do these things I want to do because I don't have the financial resources. Those are all places where it could just be a not yet. It's not yet time. And then there's the I can't of I don't know how. And that's about acquiring knowledge. And sometimes there's a combination of not yet and acquiring knowledge, right? I don't know how to do brain surgery, but I'll learn that in med school. I don't know how to create a connection with my spouse, but I can learn that. I don't know how to get a new job, but I can learn that. I don't know how to do the skills that get me where I want to, but I can learn them. So there's a I don't know how. And the final one is really I won't. And what we often recognize or don't recognize is that the I won't is where we assume responsibility. I can't when it's I won't. I can't do that is shirking responsibility. And just making that shift to I won't is assuming responsibility for that action. Now, if you'll notice, that's the only one that counts. You choose to either fill in the blanks on the others. If something's just not possible, you can set it aside. If something's not yet, it's a matter of waiting it out. If something's you don't know, it's a matter of acquiring the knowledge if you want to do that. And then there's the last one, which is you're just not going to move in that direction. But when you say that, you assume responsibility. Responsibility is not always about doing something. Sometimes it's just admitting you're not going to do something. You're not going to move ahead. You're not going to pursue a relationship or a job or an opportunity. You're not going to do something. But instead of being stuck in the I can't, which is all about I have no responsibility, it's not my fault, to be able to say I won't or I will. And I won't and I will are powerful responsibility words that allow us to assume responsibility for either what we do or what we choose not to do. So what are some of these myths of taking 100% responsibility? Well, the first one is that if you assume responsibility, you're accepting fault. You're going to be blamed. That if you raise your hand and say, I will take this on, that somehow it's going to reflect on you. Or if you say, I will be responsible for this, it's going to reflect on you in a way that's about fault and blame. Accepting responsibility is saying, I can choose to respond differently. In my career, I've worked with couple after couple after couple where somebody has stepped up and said, I'm going to take responsibility for rebuilding this. Not, I'm going to be responsible for everything that's ever gone wrong in our relationship. That's about a past thing, but I'm going to be responsible about what we do to move forward. You'll notice that fault is almost always about what has happened, and responsibility is always about what is and what will happen. And you can make that as a distinguishing feature that whenever it's looking backward, you're probably going to be about assuming fault or assuming blame. But if you're looking at what's going on right now and what you might do in the next moments and what you might do in the next days, months, weeks, years, that's about responsibility. So the myth number one is that assuming responsibility is about accepting fault. Myth number two is believing that in a certain situation, there's nothing you can do. One of my favorite pieces of Viktor Frankl's great work, Man's Search for Meaning, was the fact that he realized that in the end, when nothing else is there, we have a choice of how we hold ourselves, of what attitude we carry with us, and that the attitude we carry with us is something that nobody can take unless we give it up. It's our last piece. If we're being held captive, we still have a choice in our attitude and our approach towards it, of taking responsibility for that attitude. So the myth that there is, in this situation, there's nothing I can do, there is always that last piece. How will I be? Who will I be in this? How can I continue to move forward with this? And the third myth is you can't control how you react. Many people tell me, you know, it's not my fault that I respond that way. And they're really not responding. They're reacting. It just comes out of me. And that is one of the big myths, that somehow an angry response, an inappropriate response is not somebody's fault. It's not somebody's responsibility to change that. It's just what comes out. People get into habits. And habits of behavior, habits of thought can be difficult to change. But it is our responsibility to say, I choose not to respond that way anymore. Time and time again, I've met with people who had anger problems. And their anger would emerge in destructive ways. And they would always say, hey, what do you want me to do? How am I supposed to respond differently? This is how I've always done things. And my response is, how you've always done things has gotten you to this place where you're stuck. So let's take a step back and assume responsibility that you have some control over those reactions. And let's begin to build them in. Let's begin to practice. Let's begin to change the habits of how we react and make sure that we're choosing our response. So how do you do that? What are the steps? The first step is to assume you are 100% responsible. Make it a game. Think about how you might be responsible for something, even if it's something that you think is completely unrelated. How might you be responsible for that? How can you take on responsibility for that? Ask yourself these two questions. How am I responsible? Think about that, the possibilities, and think about how that could have happened. For instance, you're on the side of the road. You can't believe that the battery is dead in your car and you can't get moving. How could that be your fault? Well, you might want to think back on the time the few weeks before when the car was kind of slow starting, was a little sluggish on the startup, and you didn't change the battery. Now, why do I bring that up? Because I've been there. I remember standing on the side of the road cursing at my car for the fact that the battery was dead and it would not go. How could it have let me down? But then I could remember the time when I turned the key and it took a second to turn over. And when I had that slight delay that I did not take responsibility for, I didn't act on it. So I could stand on the side of the road and say, it's not my fault, or think back on the places where maybe I did create that place. Or how about the times when I've heard people talk about their loved one saying, I'm out of here, I'm done with this, I'm leaving you, I don't love you. And they put all the blame on the spouse for having made that decision. But the person's not choosing to look at the hours they spent at work that took them away from the family, or the time they spent on their hobbies that took them away from family, or taking their spouse for granted, or not attending to the relationship in some other way. And so when they say, it's not my fault, they lose the fact that there were things that they could have done, where they could have taken responsibility and moved the relationship forward. So ask yourself the question, how am I responsible for this? See if you can come up with answers. The second one is, how can I be responsible? Now that I'm here, now that I'm in this situation, what can I do? One of the big truths of life is that we can't go back and change what's already happened. Many times I spent in the hospital talking with people late at night about all the things that had happened to them and how fixated they were on what had happened. And they had a hard time getting to the place of deciding what to do now because they wanted to dwell on what happened. It gave them almost some comfort in being stuck in that place rather than saying, how can I move forward with this? How can I restore these relationships? How can I begin to take responsibility for where I go, not what's happened? What's happened has happened. There's no rewriting that. There's no way of going back and changing that. There's nothing that can happen to that. But we can begin to move forward. We talked about that forgiveness thing last time, that thrivers know how to forgive quickly. And that's about letting go of those past events so that you can then ask the question, what can I do now? How can I be responsible for changing the course going forward? And you answer that question, you begin to take on responsibility. Number two, note your thoughts. There can be a number of different ways that people think. One is learned helplessness. Learned helplessness is a term that Martin Seligman gave us in a way of describing what happens when people get into a habitual way of thinking they have no control over life, that what's happening to them is out of their control. There's nothing they can do to change it. Now, a lot of that comes from conditioning along the way, and Martin Seligman proved this with animal behavior, but it's interesting how with humans, we do it with our thoughts, that over time, we can keep saying, there's nothing I could do here, there's nothing I could have changed there, there's nothing I can do, and we put ourselves into learned helplessness. So one area of looking at your thoughts is to ask the question, how often do I tell myself there's nothing I can do? If you say that very often, you'll notice that you're stuck at a point where you don't feel like you have any control over your life and you choose to let go of your responsibility. Another way you might look at your thoughts is learned hopefulness. There are times when people get to that place where they keep feeling hopeful, right? They start moving. And yet, one of the interesting things is hopefulness is sometimes just about dreaming. There's no action attached. So learned hopefulness is a beginning point, but it's not the end. Learned determinedness is the next place where you decide you're going to move forward no matter what gets in your way. It's not about the obstacles. It's not about the difficulties. It's not even about feeling good right now. It's about choosing to get to where you want to because you know it's important. That's about taking on 100% responsibility for life. So step number one is to assume responsibility. Step number two is to look at your thoughts and see where they pull you away from being responsible. Step number three is to reflect on that, to notice it. Because one of the things that often happens is we find the difference between reactions and responsibility is simply on whether the person is thinking through the facts, thinking through the process, and noticing themselves. So sitting with yourself in the evening and reflecting on that is a good way of beginning to ask, how did I take responsibility today? How did I shirk responsibility today? Where could I have taken on more responsibility? Where could I assume 100% responsibility in this and move forward with that? And then number four is to accept responsibility and start again. If you realize that there are places you could have done more, you decide to not let that bog you down. You decide to refocus and start again, because the nice thing is the next day gives us plenty of opportunities to assume 100% responsibility. So join those who are thriving by choosing to accept 100% responsibility for your life. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving life.
Listening to the Thriveology podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.